Thank you all for coming. I don't see any more folks coming down the steps, so we'll go ahead and get started. My name is Paul Rohde. I'm in the Village this fall serving the program, Conversations which are on the theme of pilgrimage, or more specifically, penning the pilgrimage. And we decided to take as our focus for this week, Holden Village as a pilgrimage. By pilgrimage, we mean some things like traveling attentively, traveling into unknown territory, which may not merely be geographic, but leaving a sense of yourself, a sense of the world, a sense of God that maybe you thought was settled and are somehow called to explore in more depth, with more awareness, with other people, including people who have gone before us. So we did a little vote yesterday, and I'll talk about that in just a minute, to decide that on Saturday morning when we take a pilgrimage around the village where we might go. We're patterning that off pilgrimages that are taken every Tuesday on the island of Iona in Scotland, which is a centuries-old pilgrimage site. And what happens is we go to each place and learn a little bit about that spot and what it means. And then we're asked a question or called into reflection about our own lives, and we pray, and then we move on. So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on what will we say at each of the spots we decided to go. I'm convinced that words really matter. What we call a place makes a huge difference. One of the first things we learn about humankind in the book of Genesis is that Adam was called to name the creatures. And whatever Adam named them, that was their name. And I think we do that. We will talk some tonight about the various ways we can name something. I don't know what you thought or said the first time you saw compost, but what you call it, do you call it mystery, miracle, or do you call it something else, makes a huge difference. If you doubt the difference that may make, one of my friends who teaches up here put me onto this book, Anguished English by Richard Lederer, which some of you know it, which talks about misnomers that happen with language when you don't get it quite right. And for travelers, there is nothing more vulnerable than mistranslation. So I've got a few examples of that just for the sake of hilarity and to convince you that words really do matter. The United Nations, they did an experiment with the translating computers, and they fed in a phrase and asked them to translate it to Chinese, then into French, and finally back into English. The adage that they chose to give the computer was, out of sight, out of mind. What do you think came back when it came back to English? Invisible, insane. Then they tried it into Russian, and then from Russian back into English. And what they gave it was a Bible verse. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And this is what came back. The meat is good, the wine is good, but the meat is spoiled. The spirit is willing, flesh is weak, meat and spirit. Consider some of these things that have been posted for English travelers in hotels. In a Bucharest hotel lobby, the lift is being fixed for the next day. During that time, we regret that you will be unbearable. In a Paris hotel elevator, please leave your values at the front desk. Be careful where you leave your values. In a Bangkok dry cleaners, drop your trousers here for best results. Unless you think we're being sexist outside a Hong Kong tailor shop, ladies may have a fit upstairs. This will be the last one. In a Yugoslavian hotel, the flattening of underwear with pleasure is the job of the chambermaid. And we will stop there. In addition to sessions at pilgrimage, we're calling it penning the pilgrimage. So we have some writing groups, and we've had people together to do some writing, to talk about writing, to talk about why it matters to keep a journal, what happens when you put things into words. What I'm pressing through that is this whole theological movement where St. John's Gospel, for example, starts with word. The word was in the beginning. And then it says, the Word created everything that was. So the creation came out of the Word. And what's more, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the life of Jesus. And then, do we not believe that Jesus and Jesus' life became a Word, again, in the Holy Scriptures? And that when we read and study and receive the Word, we are given life again. So that there gets to be this exchange between Word and life and Word, back and forth, reciprocal like that. And the writers who have been gathering, I was already convinced of this, but have been really helpful in helping us notice that bringing words to something really matters. I'll just give you a couple of quotations from some prominent writers. Annie Dillard wrote this in Pilgrim at Tinker Creek. Seeing is, of course, very much a matter of verbalization. Unless I call my attention to what passes before my eyes, I simply won't see it. It is not merely unnoticed, but in the full, clear sense of the word, unseen. I have to say the words, describe what I'm seeing. It's a matter of keeping my eyes open. The big winner in our election yesterday was the bus stop. And the person who nominated the bus as a pilgrimage stop here said, we don't get here alone. We need help to get here. But I wonder how many of us have seen it and have seen all the people that help us get here. Both literally, the pilot of the boat and the bus driver and so on, and also figuratively, the people who stir in us the faith that makes us want to retreat and to serve and to work. So words are a matter of seeing. One more by Mae Sarton. Words are what the writer lives by, and his or her whole life is the struggle to express in words what he believes and feels. My response was always, what you cannot say or describe has not been seen or felt. So in the service of helping people see and feel and live on Saturday morning as we walk around the village, we're going to try to find some words. So what I want to do is three parts to this session. I showed some pictures last night of the Iona pilgrimage, and I said that I would offer some examples of the things we said and did as we walked around the island of Iona, just to prime the pump. Then I'm going to give you the eight sites that we will walk to on Saturday. And what I'd like us to do is just work in small groups and get started on each of the eight of those. And I'll give you some questions to work with. And then we'll come back from each group, and the groups can tell us what they've thought of, and everybody can contribute, so that I'll have lots of ideas when I come around to edit this. Okay? That makes sense? So one of the there were some stops in which we sang. And maybe since we've just eaten, to make sure we stay awake, we should just do a song. So you want to do the walk with me?
Come walk with me, the journey is long.
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 And that's one more time. And then it's the journey, the journey, the journey is long.
The journey, the journey, the journey is long.
Okay. Come walk with me, the journey is long. Come walk with me, the journey is long. Come walk with me, the journey is long.
Come walk with me, the journey is long.
The journey, the journey,
the journey is long. The journey, the journey, the journey is long. The journey, the journey, the journey is long. The journey, the journey, the journey is long.
Come walk with me,
the journey is long. Come walk with me, the journey is long. Come walk with me, the journey is long. Come walk with me, the journey is long. The journey, the journey, 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 the journey is long.
Probably the thing we will quote the most often will be scripture, And what we're going to do when we get to that is work with the scripture that's inside us. What scriptures come to mind? I think we all know more scripture than we give ourselves credit for. So we'll let that come. But one of the other things we did at a number of stops was read poetry. For those of you who were here last night, you remember the first stop was the nunnery, which lies in ruins. And the reflection at that place was the disparity there's been through so much of history between the work and witness of women and the work and witness of men. And we were asked there to reflect on women who have been significant in our walk of faith. And then the warden who was leading the pilgrimage read this poem. It's by Caelan Haught, who is a Welsh poet, and I absolutely love this poem. It's called God Says Yes to Me. I asked God if it was okay to be melodramatic, and she said yes. I asked her if it was okay to be short, and she said, sure it is. I asked her if I could wear nail polish or not wear nail polish, and she said, honey, she calls me that sometimes. She said, you can do just exactly what you want to. Thank you, God, I said. And is it even okay if I don't paragraph my letters? Sweet cakes, God said. Who knows where she picked that up? What I'm telling you is yes, yes, yes. I've got a couple of other examples. This one is The Layers by Stanley Kunitz. And to be perfectly honest with you, I don't remember where on the pilgrimage we read it. But when I reread it, it's interesting. I'm talking about this interplay between life and words. When I reread it for tonight's session, I thought of the tailings immediately. For when we look up at the mine shaft and the waste that is up there. I have walked through many, it's called The Layers by Stanley Kunitz. I have walked through many lives, some of them my own, and I am not who I was, though some principle of being abides from which I struggle not to stray. When I look behind, as I am compelled to look before I can gather strength to proceed on my journey, I see the milestones dwindling toward the horizon and the slow fires trailing from the abandoned campsites over which scavenger angels wheel on heavy wings. Oh, I have made myself a tribe out of my true affections, and my tribe is scattered. How shall the heart be reconciled to its feast of losses? In a rising wind, the manic dust of my friends, those who fell along the way, bitterly stings my face. Yet I turn, exulting somewhat, with my will intact to go wherever I need to go, and every stone on the road is precious to me. In my darkest night, when the moon was covered and I roamed the wreckage, a voice directed me, live in the layers, not on the litter. Though I lack the art to decipher it, no doubt the next chapter in my book of transformations is already written. I am not done with my changes. I love that live in the layers, not on the litter. And the book of transformations, this ongoing change that we seek every time we encounter a brokenness. I'll do one more. This is The Fountain by Denise Levertov. I don't want to prescribe what the groups are doing, but when we go to the stream, this could be a nomination. Don't say there is no water to solace the dryness at our hearts. I've seen the fountain springing out of the rock wall and you drinking there. And I too, before your eyes, found footholds and climbed to drink the cool water. The woman of that place, shading her eyes, frowned as she watched, but not because she grudged the water, only because she was waiting to see we drank our fill and were refreshed. Don't say there is no water. That fountain is there among its scalloped green and gray stones. It is still there and always there with its quiet song and strange power to spring in us up and out through the rock. The Fountain. So, poems. Every session I've led so far this month, somebody else, including last night, somebody else has come up after the session and said, you've got to read the poem. That's why I love teaching at Holden. You get all this stuff back. And I hope that just helps you spur things that you may have thought about. At each section, we will pray. And whether we use prayers, famous prayers, or write prayers, that will be up to you. That's one of the things that your group can think about. So, as I tally the votes, this is the route that occurred to me. And then when I'm through reading this, I'll say, how does this sound? If there's something you can't live without, by all means, we're going to listen to that. That we'll start at the bus stop. It's the largest vote getter, and it's the beginning of getting to Holden. And we'll go from there to the VC, and I'll be interested in whatever small group works on that, whether we focus on the ceiling or the empty pulpit. There were two spots there that we could think about. But we'll go into the VC, or we could focus on worship in general. In the summer, that's where we gather in worship. We'll go from there to the Ark, and from the Ark, we'll look up at Copper Basin. So, you know, there were a few votes for the top of the Chalet Hill to get that view. But we can get the view from the Ark, and I think just in terms of moving a group of people, it's more efficient to do there. We'll look at the Ark, at the basin, the saddle up there, which has to be many Holdenites' favorite view. And then we'll take a break, and we'll lower our eyesight, and we'll look at the tail ends, the third level. So we see the grandeur of creation, and we see the brokenness that is in the shadow of that creation. And the question for the group will be, what are we going to say about that? We'll go from there into the dining room. We've got three stops in the hotel. The first one will be the tables. The dining room and tables got the most votes. Porch swings also got a fair number of votes, but I thought the tables would be a place to think about conversation and its power. That fellowship that we so enjoy here. And then we will go to the kitchen, where people talked about bread and feasting. And then we will go to the dish pit and the compost, where we can honor work and garbo, that kind of thing. And from there, we will come over here. And my hunch is that we'll just go to the center of Koinonia, and we can think about teaching. This is the major teaching room. If somebody wants to bring a loom upstairs, we could do the loom in this building and talk about creativity and art, those kinds of things. And then we'll go to the footbridge and talk about the stream. Now, is anybody heartbroken or feeling like something got missed? Speak now, honest, because I do want it to be a community project. How's it sound, everybody? I think it sounds like a doable walk, first of all. I think we can do that in an hour and 20 minutes or so, and still not feel rushed, stay together in it. One thing I noticed is that we didn't have any one spot that emerged that captured hilarity. But holy hilarity is a Holden value. And so any of you in any of the groups, feel free. If there's something hilarious you want to do, I mean, shall we bless the spatulas at the compost bin or whatever?
The dining room does have hilarity.
Great. Write it down. Say, what do you think of it? Because we laugh there so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Very good. There could be a couple bouts of hilarity. I'm sure Holdenites can handle that. Now, what I did is I put each of those sites on the front of a piece of paper, and on the back of it, I copied Holden's vision, mission statement, and core values. Because it seems to me that we want to ground this in something bigger than just what we happen to think or what we happen to like, to say, what really is the ministry of this place? What is it calling us to see? There are four things I'd like your groups to think about. The first I'm calling reflection, which is, what is this place? So at the footbridge, for example, your group may choose to say, this place is a bridge, and this ministry is about making connections. Or you can say this place is a stream, a river of flowing water, and call us to reflect on that. At the tables, we can talk about conversation and fellowship or laughter and hilarity. In the kitchen, you hear what I'm saying. Describe the place. What is it about? Then second, I'd like you to come up with a question for our reflection. So for example, one of the things I thought about, because the reflection we heard on the bus nomination was, we all need help to get here. Nobody gets here alone. Is that we would do a litany in the group and invite everyone in the group to name out loud the people who have helped us get here. And they could be categories of people or they could be names of people. So I could say my home congregation helped me get here. Somebody might say the bus driver, the mechanic. Do what I'm saying. You could say the name of a person you know who invited you to hold it. Something like that. We could do litanies like that in a couple of different places. So we've got reflection, question, and then the third piece will be either a scripture reading, a poem, a prayer, a song, some holy word that will bring us together in the place. And then the last thing is, if there's anybody in any of your small groups who would like to read along the way, please record your names so that we can be clear as we practice this, that these are suggestions and words and inspiration from a whole bunch of folks. Any questions? Reflection? A question? Something for us to think about?
The last one, read along the way, meaning?
A poem, for example, or the scripture lesson, or the reflection.
Oh,
which is to say, I don't want to do all the talking
as
we go along the way. So, when we're at the, I will probably call us together down at the bus stop and get it started, and then somebody can give a reflection on what it means to arrive here on a school bus and how, we all needed help getting here. And then we'll have the question for our reflection and a few moments of silence, and then somebody can read scripture or poem or whatever that group has chosen. Make sense?
So you're kind of the MC at each of the stations?
Not necessarily.
Or
the people who want to read can be. I will script this. I'll be the editor of it. And that's primarily so that we don't pray the prayer of St. Francis seven times. nothing is worse than having something planned to say and have three people say it before you. So, I will do that just to get some good variety, to make sure we've got some singing interspersed, some scripture, but the ideas will have come from you.
Are you saying that what we do today is going to be scripted by you,
edited
by you, mm-hmm. and that will be what is said?
Right.
So not new stuff after reflecting a couple more days.
Could be. We're not going to shut the spirit down. If somebody gets an inspiration, we'll use it. Just see me. I mean, I think there may be things that you may want to tag for some research. For example, in Dorothy Bass's pilgrimage, she has a lot of mining data. So how much stuff came out of the mine, and how that compares with how much stuff is still sitting up there on the ground, which is really very interesting for our reflection when we look at the tailings. So we may not have facts at our disposal. It might be interesting to know how many people come up and down that mountain every year when we're at the bus. So we may need to do some footwork and some research. So mostly what I'm saying is you do the brainstorming. Okay, you come up with lots of ideas, and then I'll edit it. It's going to need to be kind of brief at each stop. We're going to have to work with about 10 minutes at each stop, including some walking time. Is it making sense to you? Good questions. So who would like to work on the footbridge? Okay. Somebody report in from each group, and then the whole group can have a chance to add anything to each of the stops. If there's something that you remember from last night's conversation that we haven't got in there yet, or some part of your own experience, some part of the mission and values. So let's start with the bus. We'll do it in forwards now.
Okay. we are going to start with everybody seated on the bus.
There will be a bus there,
and everybody will be seated on the bus. We'll be talking to you on the bus at the stop sign. And then we would like to have the bus move forward to the place where everybody gets off.
Okay.
And
so you asked for a bus. I also need a bus driver.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to, but that would be, we thought that would be good.
That would be very cool.
And we looked at reflecting on the place as not only the bus itself and the stop sign, but kind of the whole coming up on the bus from the lake. And so it's a transition thing that we were thinking of about that ride. And we also thought that the bus and the experiences of arriving on the bus continue in the village. Being around other people, listening to them talk, watching and looking at scenery, all of those things that you do on the bus go on and still in the village. The bus is like a metaphor for the closeness and safety of the village, because everybody is in there, and there's a sense of sort of anxiousness about switchbacks and things like that, but you, at least we feel really safe on that bus.
Another idea or two? Because just I want to make sure everybody gets a chance.
Okay. And then one of the reflection questions that we would like to ask everybody is, what were your thoughts on the bus as you came up? And what were your experiences on the bus? We would like to read scripture verse or two regarding that, some of those themes. We're not sure what yet. And then there will be a poem that
do you have a poem in mind?
I wrote the poem.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Great. Suggestions for the bus? And are your names on it so I can find you? Your name and... Nobody signed up for the VC, so we'll probably focus on the ceiling. And the theme of the ceilings is to everything there is a season, so I think we'll read Ecclesiastes, learn a little bit about the ceiling, and that will take us to the ark.
What is this place? You talked about it being a gathering place, the communication central and the use of the kiosk there, and then how it's also that wonderful viewpoint for looking across the valley to the grandeur of Copper Light Basin, talking about and then I might be talking forward the layering of Copper Basin and then dropping your site to the tailings pond, tailings piles beneath that. And also we're thinking about the being at Holden. It is that mountaintop experience. But that also we are brought to the realization that you don't live on the mountaintop, but that it prepares us and strengthens us for going back to the valley where we live. And then the tailings pile isn't just an eyesore, we said, but it's something that something good comes, you know, Holden wouldn't be here if it weren't, the village wouldn't be here if it weren't for the mine. And so though the tailings piles are a result of the mine, something good came out of the something bad. And the scripture that came to our minds for that was all things work together for good. And there was a poem I can't think of it exactly. I think it's John Muir. It's about climb the mountains and get their good tidings, something like that. I need to find it somewhere. And then the layering poem we thought would be good. Maybe on eagle's wings or part, you know, a couple verses from that. And then our reflection that we thought would be fun to use would be to have the people who are gathered use their eyes like cameras to capture the beauty that they see from that position and to take it home with them so that on evenings when they can't sleep, they can pull up that picture in their mind of the beauty that they saw and the peace that it gives them.
Great. Thank you very much. Suggestions for the art? I am so excited about this, you guys. I think it's gonna be great. Dining room tables.
Well, we just talked about the dining room as being the hub, kind of the Grand Central Station, from 5 a.m. coffee to late night games and snacks and everything in between. How we meet somebody new at table and we leave as friends. Incorporating Dull Roar and birthday songs and so on. And we have something that's a little clever, but we're going to wait with that till the pilgrimage, I think. We think it's clever anyway. That's about singing the table prayer, be present at our table, Lord. Also the Edelweiss rendition of Bless Our Food, Bless Our Friends, Come, Lord, and Sit With Us, I believe. And see if we can get one of those cards that we used to have with the table prayers on them. I'm sure there's here somewhere to use for some prayer. I would then also mention some about how we could consider Holden's intentionality around fair trade, organic, local, healthy eating. And how that nourishes us and provides.
Do you have a question or a reflection question?
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
Early in the week. Maybe that's the clever thing.
Yeah.
Kitchen. Any other things at the dining room table?
Kitchen. Place where raw materials come together for preparation. We kind of tied everything together as a communion place, and how every meal is kind of a communion. And so this would be like the sacristy of food, and where things come into form and make ready for fellowship and celebration. So the reflection that we came up with would be to reflect on how many hands have touched this piece of food before it enters your body, from the beginning of the seed being planted until it comes here. And then some of the things that we talked about for the other part would be scriptures that related to food, like the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, or relating it to manna. There's enough meal here for us every day. Song would be maybe let us break bread together. And Neil brought up one of Eugene Peterson's things. He says every meal is communion. We take, break, and bless and eat. And there could be a prayer that kind of incorporates how that works together and nourishes our soul.
Beautiful. Any suggestions for the kitchen?
To me, the kitchen is rock and roll, because the people in the kitchen are so lively, and they've often got music playing, and they're mostly younger people, and I'm fascinated by how hard they work and how they seem to compensate for that pressure. I mean, there's a lot of pressure in there, with their humor and singing and just
I also think about the rhythm, the rhythms of the knives chopping and the stirring, as well as the rhythm of timing that food and getting it out on time.
Something that just came to my mind is that the kitchen is the place that generates smells.
Not the only place on the planet.
it is a place we can celebrate.
It's a romance.
It is important to pay attention to all the senses. I appreciate that.
We got some humor.
Okay, from the kitchen, we're going to do dish pit. Who's doing dish pit?
Dish pit. And compost. Okay, the first part, reflection. What is this place? It's a place of renewal and cleansing and transformation and recycling. This includes both dish pit and compost. It's full of life, bacteria, worms. It's a source of life, new plants, once it becomes compost. And it's a lowly and necessary service. And then scripture, poetry, prayers, songs. I don't think we thought of a song yet. Maybe wash that man right out of my hair. I don't think that fits dishes. Unless a seed falls into the earth and dies. That's related to the compost.
Great.
Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I don't know what that is. That a poem or a scripture?
That's scripture.
It's a song.
It's a song.
It's
a song.
Yeah, that's what.
Great. Do you have a question for the dish pit?
A question for?
Like a reflection question or something for people to think about?
Well, there's another poem here. We didn't come up with any questions.
All right. That's all right. You're off to a very good start. Thank you. And from there, we're coming here. That's you guys, right?
Koinonia. What is this place? In the winter, it's a sanctuary. The rest of the year, always really, it's an educational, spiritual gathering place. The library is a center of learning and enjoyment. The craft cave is for creativity. For activities, we'd like to do the Holden Prayer. And then I would like to tell a story about how it feels to be a Catholic and being invited to be a Eucharistic minister. Mm-hmm. And we will do the chants from prayers around the cross, or somebody will do that. Not me.
Paul, could you say more about this question thing that you just asked? You said, do we have a question?
Yeah, my hope is that at each spot we will take some time to reflect on what that place can mean for our wider lives. So, for example, the question here was the hands. How many hands? And that as a group we will talk about all the hands that have worked with our food to get it to the kitchen. And maybe we will just name those aloud. Somebody can say sower, and someone can say reaper, and grinder, and trucker, and dicer, and you hear what I'm saying?
I do. Thank you.
You had one. What was your question?
What were you thinking?
What were you thinking on the bus? Or we could broaden that maybe to what are you thinking when you face a transition? You know, specifically on the bus, but for the sorts of questions we have all of the time. Did you have a question?
No.
For kind of now? Okay. So the question part is something that we'll need to work on a little. We've got till Saturday.
Well, no, and we thought, actually more than, instead of a question, we have this, spend just a few moments just to look up and to capture.
Right, use your eyes as a camera,
right, as a
which
camera.
Is a reflection exercise,
yeah.
Sort of,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Good. More do you wanted to say? Okay. And then the footbridge.
Yes.
Okay, footbridge. Okay, baptism, born out of the water, and Terry was right here at Railroad Creek. So that's very meaningful. The bridge is a metaphor, a connection between the village and the mine. The bridge is a destination, a doable destination. The bridge is man's use of God's wood.
Say that again, please.
man's use of God's wood. Our feet take us on this journey throughout the Valley of Holden. The bridge is a landmark to cross with our feet. The bridge connects us with one another. And we thought about that, like when you're baptized, the pastor is the bridge. People become bridges. And for the question, how does this speak to your journey? Scripture, poetry, songs, okay. We have a song, it's an old one that probably was done in the mining days up to now. Let us gather at the river. Let us gather at the river. How many know that one?
Okay. Shall we?
That's a song.
Shall we?
Shall we gather? Shall we gather at the river? Thank you.
Suggestions for the footbridge?
Well, I was just thinking about the bridge and thinking how a bridge is there. If there is a bridge, we can choose to take it or not to take it, but it doesn't mean the bridge ceases to be if we do not take it. Mm-hmm. It's always there.
Wow.
It's like our relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. We can choose to be a child of God or not, but God is always there. That bridge to Him never is broken. And that's what it made me think of.
We could have
testimonies.
And another thing. There we go.
A bridge is meant to hold those who traffic across.
Yeah.
So it's the weight has been planned. I mean, it has to hold you.
Thank you all for what you've brought. You have helped me see new things in this place, and I trust you've helped one another, and we're just getting started. I would like the sheets. Do all of you have folks who are willing to help with each of these?